podcast to Mr. Dontrell Willis, the D-Train. How you doing, Dontrell?
Doing well. Well, really well. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
That's awesome. Glad you could join the podcast this week. And Dontrell will be talking about the upcoming game on Apple TV Friday night with the St. Louis Cardinals and the Philadelphia Phillies. And I just wanted to fill in our listeners. Of course, it wasn't that long ago that you were a pitcher, Dontrell, but, you know, as we start getting older, you know, the young people need to be reminded a little bit. But Dontrell was a 2003 Rookie of the Year. He was drafted in 2000, came up in 2003, turned in a 14-6 season for the Florida Marlins back then before they changed their name to Miami, and just happened to win the World Series. Dontrell, what kind of year was that for you?
Oh, man, it felt very whirlwind. You know, it definitely, especially going into the playoffs and playing the Cubs and the Giants and the Yankees, you know, as a young 21-year-old, you're like, man, I can get used to doing this every year. Well, you know, for the rest of my career, I never sniffed the playoffs once after that. So it was definitely a dream year as far as my career and a dream season to be able to win the World Series in my first year in the big leagues.
Yeah, what was it like going up against pitchers that you probably, or actually batters that you watched on TV growing up, and you're like, all of a sudden, I'm pitching to this guy that I used to watch, you know? Like, what went through your mind during that? Must have been a rush.
Honestly, you know, what always went through my mind is, man, I hope they can sign a baseball after I get done facing them. You know what I mean? It was heroes, and so facing, you know, guys like Larry Walker that are Hall of Famers and Jim Tomei's of the world and Ken Griffey Jr.'s of the world. These are all guys that were on my wall basically growing up. And so to be able to share the same field as those guys, you know, it's really a big time rush. But you want to compete and earn the respect from these guys. And so, you know, it was very definitely fun. I have a lot of cool interactions with those guys. But when you go out there and you play against the best in the world, there's no better feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. Of course, the Florida Marlins won that World Series 4-2. It was their second ever World Series win. And in 2005, Dontrell, you were 22-10. And you finished second in the Cy Young voting that year. What a awesome year that was. How do you describe that year for yourself?
To be honest, my teammates just love me. They love me. They love playing behind me. Anybody that wins 20 games in the big leagues, and really right now, anyone that wins 15 games, obviously you have to stay healthy. You have to have the talent, but everybody in the big leagues has the talent. And so you definitely have to have teammates that care about you and that want to run through a wall for you. And so it was obviously a fun year, but the Marlins have never had a 20-game winner before. So to be the first and only thus far, it was really, really a big-time accomplishment. But I couldn't have done it without my teammates. I mean, they love me. They still give me a mess around with me till this day when they see me on television talking about my tie's crooked or what the heck am I talking about on TV while I'm on air and what have you. But you know, anybody that's successful in the big leagues, yes, you have to have talent, but you have to have people around you that push you and put you in a good spot to be successful. So when I think of that year, I definitely think of just the teammates that pushed me to help me excel and that really wanted me to win 20 just like I did.
Yeah, and that's everything in baseball, chemistry in a baseball team. Of course, we saw the Phillies last year pull it together, and they're very much about the same team this year, relying on that chemistry to bring them together because they're not really an overwhelmingly strong team in the standings. They're not like a Braves, say, or a Dodgers right now, but they have that chemistry, that sneaky chemistry that you need to make a success in a season. But the Phillies do have alumni weekends for their championship teams and places like that. Do the Marlins invite you back periodically to take part in those things?
Oh, all the time. It's just that between Fox Baseball and Apple TV and Dodger Baseball, I have way too many jobs. And you know, in this business, it's good to be wanted. And so, you know, it's been very difficult for me to get back to South Florida. But, you know, the Marlins over the last couple seasons, especially with all these throwback uniforms and throwback days, they've done a good job of recent to bring back some of the old Marlins. And I believe this is their 30th season anniversary. So they brought back a lot of the people from the 97 team and the 03 team. And so it's fun to see those guys doing well and being healthy. And it's fun to see those guys back in that old school uniform to mess with each other about that. But it's really, really cool to see the guys and talk about the old war stories and what have you. So they always invite me every Friday for Throwback Friday. I'm trying to work it out to where I can go to the very last Throwback Friday, but I miss being down there in South Florida most definitely.
Very cool. Yeah, that I'm wishing that the Marlins stay down there forever, because it's definitely a town that needs to be represented by a professional baseball team for sure. Speaking of the Marlins, real quick, the 2023 Marlins, what a success they've been so far. They got some bad news in the last week to 10 days with Jorge Soler and Sandy Alcantara going out on the IL, but you have Jazz Chisholm on that team too, and they're a team that relies on, again, that chemistry, and I really thought they were had a great chance to make the playoffs this year. They still do. They're still in it. A little slim chance, that is, but the Marlins, I thought, were for real this year.
Yeah, they're going to be around. I mean, the lifeblood of that organization is starting pitching. If you look at 97, 03, the rotation depth and being able to throw quality every single day, I think that's a key to their success. And obviously defend. I think the adds of Bell and Burger really elongated that lineup and really provided some protection around Soler. And Arise is one of the best hitters in all of baseball. There's not a pitch he can't cover. I mean, he's a base hit machine. And so once they got those two adds in the trade, you looked at that lineup and it's like, man, especially with the healthy Jazz Chisholm, they had about four or five guys in that lineup that can beat you on any given day. And so you pair that with the rotation, especially when Sandy was healthy, with Jesus Luzardo and Perez, the young talented rookie, they throw some talent and some stuff at you, some swing and miss stuff at you. And so they've given away a lot of games in the second half with the bullpen kind of being erratic and what have you. You know, Philadelphia went through that kind of spurt a couple seasons ago before they locked it down. But yeah, you can't give away games, especially in the NL East. That's always been the kind of the business model, even when I played. Like, you can't give games late, especially how the lineups are structured. And you look at the Philadelphia Phillies, they keep coming after you. And so, you know, the Fighting Phils have come back from behind and beat up on my Fighting Fish, you know what I mean, a couple times late and beat up on that bullpen. And so, but they're a fun team to watch, and they're going to be successful. But the key is that keep that rotation healthy.
Absolutely. And I have a good constituent that stays in touch with me throughout the years. He keeps telling me, come on down to the Marlins. Come on down to see a game when the Phillies are down there. He has seats right above the dugout down there. So one of these days, I'm going to take him up on it. But let's talk about the pitch clock for a second for 2023. You have 15 seconds to throw a pitch when the bases are empty and 20 when there's a runner on base. What is your impression of this sort of rule within baseball and how it's shaved about 20 minutes off of the game, but it's sort of taken away that, you know, nuance between the pitcher and the batter a little bit?
There's a couple things. The first thing is, as a pitcher, you really have to make an adjustment cardio-wise as far as throwing that many pitches at that type of pace. And so I think that was important early You saw some guys struggle that you weren't necessarily. Alek Manoah comes to mind. Julio Urías comes to mind. Some of the pitchers that are very deliberate about like taking their time, walking around the mound, being methodical. They had to kind of speed themselves up because they definitely didn't want to give up ball after ball, especially in key counts behind the pitch clock. The second thing is the action in play. I think it's been very, very good for Major League Baseball to kind of shave that fat off of guys, you know, walking around the mound or the batter stepping out and adjusting his batting gloves 10 times and what have you. So just the excess time. And so I think it helps keep the fans and as far as the viewers at home on their seats about this, the action and play problem. And so I think it's awesome. As a game caller, I get to go home earlier. So I think that's very fun and beneficial as well. And so I thought that rule has been absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I know us that love baseball, we love our tradition. We love how certain things are. We don't want to move it. But I think this is one rule change that's been very good for baseball.
Very cool. Yeah, as a fan, I mean, I went to a couple games early in the season, and I was kind of shocked. I was like, you know, looking around, it was time to go already, you know. And you look around the stadiums too, and there's long lines at the concession stands. There's long lines, well, at least in Philadelphia anyway, because we've had a great season as far as attendance. You know, to get into the large gift shop that they have there, you might wait 15 or 20 minutes to get in there. So before you could sort of lollygag around the stadium, have a nice couple hours to relax, and now all of a sudden it's down to business, and it's, you know, you've got to almost be on the edge of your seat for every pitch because they're coming at you fast these days. So it'll be interesting to see if they amend this at all during the playoffs. I heard there was talk that that was a possibility going down the road here, but we'll have to see what happens with that. But very cool that you're a fan of it. Of course, if you're working the game, it's great because you do get done earlier usually. But so let's talk a little bit about the Apple Preview, Apple TV, that is. And you work for Apple TV and sports, Fox Sports as well. I'm a big fan of Apple TV's broadcast. They have one of the best, clearest pictures in the game, and I love the angles and things.
Absolutely. First of all, my partner Wayne Rondazzo is one of the best in the business, and so, you know, I made a good living hanging off of Miguel Cabrera's coattail, and now I'm hanging off of Joe Davis and Wayne Rondazzo and Kevin Burkhardt's coattail on the TV side of it. But we have a lot of fun. He's big. He's smart. And we keep a lot of pace up with the game, but we also have fun, and so I feel like we narrate the games very well. And you're absolutely right. When you watch an Apple TV game, you know, the picture, it feels big. Our analysts are big. The energy is big. And so it's been a really, really fun ride, just covering and going to different cities and feeling the vibes and feeling the atmosphere, kind of like, you know, in Philadelphia, who, in my opinion, has some of the best atmospheres in all of sports. In this country. And so, you know, even though we'll be in St. Louis, these will be important games for the Fighting Fields to be able to, you know, keep their stronghold in that wild card chase.
Absolutely. And they ended up losing last night after battling back. We're taping the show on Wednesday. Last night, the Braves had a commanding lead in that, and the Phillies crawled their way back, tied the game, and ended up losing it in extra innings. That's another rule change that I'm not a big fan of, the runner on second to start off the 10th inning. You might as well just hand it to the team to win. You could bunt them over to third and sacrifice and score just about every time. But that's another discussion. But back to the St. Louis Cardinals versus Philadelphia Phillies preview. It's a shame about St. Louis this year. They're currently in the basement there at 64-81, although they did have a nice win yesterday against the Baltimore Orioles.
You know, their pitching failed them. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you have a successful team, it's starts and ends on the mound as far as the consistency and the health. And so a lot of those guys like Jack Flaherty struggled. They were going to rely on him to be an ace. Adam Wainwright is on the tail end of his career. He's having trouble navigating lineups at this point in his career. And so they had a lot of tough time, you know, really, especially early in ball games. I believe they're the worst in baseball as far as team ERA on the mound. So they're giving up runs early, and that puts a lot of pressure on offenses that have to be great. Even when you have a Nolan Arenado and the Goldschmidt in that lineup, if you're down 2-0, 3-0 early in ball games, it's just too much pressure to be over to overcome for your offense and what have you. And then they're not playing the cleanest of baseball. And so this is the first time they're not doing the Cardinal way that we're used to seeing them, you know, throwing strikes, timely hits, playing clean baseball, hitting the cutoff man. And so, yeah, it's been a struggle and a difficult season for those guys to watch. And you look at it like, what's going to be the future for you know, guys like Goldschmidt and Arenado, especially Nolan Arenado coming over there wanting to win. And so, you know, those are the big boppers. And you said a lineup had those two guys in their lineup. You wouldn't think that they would be in last place, especially in the Central. But again, they can't get on the mound and pitch. And so their pitching struggles is a big reason why they're in the cellar.
That's for sure. And the Phillies have had their kind of struggles, too, over the season with Aaron Nola in a contract year, no less. And he seems to get lit up around the fifth inning, third time through the order, usually most every game now. And it's a shame. But then every other game he'll turn in a gem. So the Phillies rotation as well will have to solidify if they're going to be successful and make the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs yet. They're in the driver's seat, but we all know that can change kind of quick. But what's your impression of Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Kyle Schwarber? That's a fearsome threesome, so to speak.
I mean, one of the best threesomes in baseball as far as, you know, their lineup depth, their production. That they have a flair of the dramatics too. And I thought they were going to win that game. That felt like a Philadelphia type setup where they were going to come from behind, especially in that ballpark. You know, they have power to all fields, especially at home, you know, and Bryce coming back, I felt like that's when that season kind of changed for them. I thought he had some urgency not taking a rehab assignment and just plugging himself back into the lineup. I thought that was critical. And, you know, Trey Turner, I mean, ever since he bought that billboard, he's been hitting 400 over his last 30 games with 36 RBIs. And so, you know, the lineup protection around Bryce, the depth, and even a Nicholas Castellanos, you know what I mean, who's having a solid season, and a Real Muto. They have about 6-7 guys that can beat you on any given day. And so, and again, you want to talk about like lineups that like playing with each other. You can see in their dugout, Rob Thompson is put in an environment that they enjoy playing for the Phillies and for each other. And I think that's a component that the fans in Philadelphia see. And as a rival of the Phillies, those fans can get on top of you very quick. And Citizens Bank Park really can turn into a daunting place for opposing teams to win. It's a fun atmosphere, especially, you know, playoff Philly. And so I think they thrive off that. And Bryce Harper has, you know, I mean, he's got a clutch gene. If he comes up in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and there's runners on, he's the most feared hitter. And so, you know, with him being the captain and a leader and someone that plays hard, you know what I mean, with reckless abandonment every single time he gets out of there, it really sets the tone for the rest of that locker room to follow suit. And I think that's why if you look at a short series, no one really wants to go to Philadelphia. You know, you're talking about the Dodgers, obviously, and the Braves are at the top of it. But if you have to go to Philadelphia and if Nolan throws that gem and obviously Zach Wheeler is in the Cy Young talks, that's a tough, you know, matchup, especially going into Philadelphia to win those ball games.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Well, that's Dontrell Willis and exciting Apple TV baseball Friday night. Philadelphia Phillies taking on the St. Louis Cardinals over there in St. Louis. Thanks for joining us, Dontrell. You have a great day, and I can't wait to watch you on the game.
You too. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And let's continue on with Phillies Talk podcast here. A special thank you out to Dontrell Willis for joining us this week on that great Apple TV preview. Really love watching the games on Apple. They're so clear, different camera angles, a very unique way of delivering the game. So hope everybody gets a chance to see it. That's the Cardinals and the Phillies coming up here on Apple TV, of course, as Dontrell was telling us about. And getting back to the Phillies, they had a tough loss last night after rallying back hugely. They were down 6-1 at one point in the middle of the game up to the sixth inning. They clawed their way back, seventh, eighth, and ninth scoring, tied the game up, and then, you know, it's that extra inning rule that I talked about with Dontrell Willis. If you have a batter on second base, a runner on second base, I mean, it's almost a gimme that they're going to be able to score them, and the Braves did, and they ended up holding on for the win last night. And, of course, that was their 95th win of the season for the Atlanta Braves. They're having just a magical season, and I hope it's one that down the road the Phillies will be able to derail possibly in the playoffs. So Matt Olson collecting his 51st home run of the year last night, that sailed into the stands, and they actually got the ball back, which was pretty cool, and got some help from Kyle Schwarber out there in left field, who actually rewarded the fan that caught it with a signed baseball from him. So that's little things that happen in the ballpark that make the warm and fuzzy feeling happen. Bryce Harper last night also collected his 1,500th career hit in the eighth inning with that home run that he hit. And he's been coming up clutch for the Phillies lately. He's been tying games between him and Trey Turner. They seem like they're back and forth between who can do better to help the Phillies try to win these games. Of course, we've seen the bullpen not being able to carry it through for a win on the last several times that the Phillies have tied it up late. But the Phillies aren't about to go snoozing anymore. They're trying to win every game. Of course, it's very important. Last night we had 28,683 at the ballpark for the third game in the series with the Atlanta Braves. And by the way, that game was off the scales at 3 hours and 28 minutes. That's my kind of time of a game, as I was talking about earlier in this podcast. I love a game to go at least 3 hours, because if you're at the stadium, it goes by so fast. And these 2 hour games, 2 hour and 10 minute games, 2 hour, 15 minute games are just, in my opinion, way too fast for a fan. But I've been saying it all year, and you can disagree, especially if you want to get home faster. I used to go to the ballpark to relax and have a nice relaxing day, not be, you know, feeling like, oh man, I got to be in my seat every moment. The pitch is coming at you like rapid fire. But, the series with Atlanta wraps up today, this evening at Philadelphia, of course, 6:40 PM start here, a couple days before the Phillies will play St. Louis. In St. Louis on Apple TV night, Friday night. So I hope everybody can tune in to see Dontrell and crew do that broadcast. It's a great, great broadcast that they turn in usually most of the time. The Phillies will be in St. Louis for the whole weekend, of course, with a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday series, wrapping up with a 2:15 p.m. start in St. Louis on the 17th, then the Phillies will return the favor to the Atlanta Braves and head down to Atlanta for a three games in Atlanta, Monday the 18th, Tuesday the 19th, and Wednesday the 20th for an afternoon game that starts at 12:20. So early start there on Wednesday, September 20th in Atlanta for the Phillies. Well, the season is winding down fast. I mean, who would have thunk it? You know, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about July 4th and the middle of the season, and we had plenty of time. Well, we don't have plenty of time anymore. It's getting down to crunch time. The Phillies are in a good position, though, right now. They're currently the first wild card position. and they're sort of in the driver's seat here. We'd love to see them open up playoff games in Philadelphia, as Dontrell was saying. Probably no better a place for the Phillies to be than home in Philadelphia in front of that crowd that's simply electric at Citizens Bank Park. So we'll see what happens with that as we go down the road here, the final couple weeks of the season. Only one more Sunday game remains home for the Phillies. They'll take on the New York Mets on September 24th for a 105 start. And it's Fan Appreciation Day that day. Usually one of my favorite days to go to the ballpark. They give away a lot of goodies to the fans randomly. You can win a lot of things. I mean, a few years ago, they used to give some trips away and things like that. I think it's been scaled down a little bit from there, but there still is a fun day to be had there at the ballpark on the last Sunday home game of the season, which is coming up very fast, mind you, September 24th against the New York Mets. All right, so let's look at the Phillies where they're standing right now. They're in second place with the loss last night against the Braves in game three of the four-game series here in Philadelphia. Their record is 79-66 on the season. They're a full 16 games back from the red-hot Atlanta Braves, 43-30 at home. And this is where they could have improved, the Phillies, I thought, a huge way. They're 36-36 on the road. So they're, you know, 500 ball club on the road, whereas the Atlanta Braves are almost a mirror record home or away. So regardless of where they're playing, they're turning in an almost equal record. Both teams, though, are 5-5 in their last 10, the Braves and the Phillies. So, Phillies at least maintaining that wild card position as well. And just a quick look at where they are at today, which is Wednesday, September 13th, as I'm taping this podcast. They're 3.5 games up in the first position of the wild card here. The Cubs are charging up behind them very fast, though. They're at plus two right now. So the Phillies have a 1.5 game lead on the Cubs for that first spot in the wild card. And the Cubbies are 6-4 in their last 10, but they've been turning in some good games, as have the Arizona Diamondbacks have been coming back. They're third place in the wild card standings. And then the Cincinnati Reds are right behind them. As we were talking about a little bit earlier on the podcast, the Miami Marlins are just 1.5 games back out of a wild card spot here. So they're still technically in the race. I mean, anything can happen going down the road, especially with, you know, a full 2 weeks left on the schedule thereabouts, maybe a little bit more. So we'll have to keep our eye on this race, and hopefully the Phillies will stay in that number one wild card position and keep winning. Of course, let's take a look at the schedule coming up. I talked about the upcoming series in St. Louis this weekend. Then they go to Atlanta on the road. Phillies return home on September 21st against those Mets for a four-game series, which they wrap up on the final Sunday home game, September 24th. They stay home with an off day on Monday, the 25th, face Pittsburgh for three, and then go on the road to the Big Apple and finish up the regular season on October 1st, which is a Sunday at 3:10 p.m. start in New York. So Philly's season is now down to a precious 2 weeks. Hopefully they will maintain this wild card lead and be able to host the wild card playoff in Philadelphia. We'll keep an eye on that. And Thank you for joining me in this podcast, the Phillies Talk Podcast. Make sure you hit like and subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. And we appreciate your support. You can go right to our page and hit the support button if you'd like to donate a little bit to the podcast. Keep us going. Keep us on the air. And hopefully, as I said, my co-host, Mr. Matt Vizi, who has returned, by the way, to Twitter/X, whatever they're calling it this week, at Phillies Bell. He's back on Twitter after a couple week hiatus. So maybe we'll be able to talk to him on the next Phillies Talk podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great week and looking forward to the next show.